The following presentation is a Barrett Sports Media production. Recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Robinos.
As always, we have to thank Writer VoiceOver for making the show possible. WriterVO.com is where you go, and you can get a custom demo made for your station. With Writer's Voice, a voice people know from NBC Sports, CBS Sports, the Tennis Network, the PBR National Tour. I mean, if you want your station anchored by a familiar voice to sports fans, go to WriterVO.com for that custom demo to hear what it would sound like right now. Today's guest is John Curley. He's the producer of Jolo and Dibs, the morning show at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and a very interesting conversation for me this week because the last time I talked to John Curley, we could not have been in a more polar opposite situation. And we'll get into this a little bit in the episode, but the last time I spent any time with John Curley, we were at the bar at the Clevelander in Miami, the week of the Super Bowl. Like, a very different mood in the country than what we are going through right now. I also thought now would be a good time to talk to John, and this is how we start the episode, because over on the Managing the Crisis podcast, JB just talked to his program director, Matt Nahigian. So, now you're going to get a really interesting view in one of the biggest markets in the country of how the crisis is being managed at the station level, and how it's being managed at the show level, and what sort of effect that has on programming at both levels. So without further ado, here is my chat with John Curley from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Your program director, Matt Nahigian, was on JB's Managing the Crisis podcast last week, I think, and he talked about that you guys, that he is making time to still do a weekly call with all the producers talking about what the short-term and long-term goals are right now. Can you tell the audience a little bit about those meetings and how different they are from, you know, under normal circumstances, you're doing that face-to-face?
The call has been going well. It's all producers, board ops, everyone's a part of it. He's been doing a great job of updating us on everything that's coming from corporate and kind of sharing the latest, pretty much day-by-day situation. Day-to-day has changed, especially out in here in the Bay Area. Bay Area's been pretty good about getting ahead of things overall. So it's, we were the first ones to have our hosts work from home, which was awesome. At first, I was a little worried, but it's been working out really well. So that was like one of the first big things that we've tackled. And he's been doing a great job managing in, what is a really tough situation.
So are all those meetings, are they just about the situation in the building, or how much is content talked about during those meetings?
It's been both, actually. It's been some content has been, especially for something like this week, we're getting heavy into the NFL draft with the Niners. Mm-hmm. So it's been talking about ideas, who to get on, what angles we want to come from, things of that nature. And other things have just been updates throughout the building. He's always ask you what more I can do to help, which has been awesome. It's always good having that outlet to go to when need be. So it's been a mixture of both, which has been awesome.
So when you talk about the 49ers, I want to get into a couple of different 49ers stories that I find interesting and would love to hear how you're talking about them. With the NFL draft, so this episode comes out Wednesday, so in the first couple of days, this will still be relevant. Is there a different timetable on how long you can stretch that content than elsewhere? Because I think I have this right, 2 picks in the first round and then not again till the 5th round?
Correct.
So what does that do to the timetable of talking about the NFL draft on 95.7 The Game?
I think this year is different than most. The Bay Area isn't a big college football town, so that makes it tough. They'll know the first few big names of the draft, and then other than that, it's us updating our listeners on who each individual player is.
Right.
What's different about this year is there's nothing going on. So we're able to I mean it in like the best best way possible in terms of we're able to take a deep dive into these prospects. People want to know who they are. Our listeners are looking for entertainment. This is a way for them to kind of step away from everything that's going on the outside and get their mind away for it and find out who these players are, who they know that's going to be on their team for the upcoming season. In terms of a timeline, there hasn't been an official timeline. It's, you know, who knows? If the Niners go make a blockbuster trade and, you know, acquire some second, third round picks, more players for us to dive into, would be awesome. If they stay pat, our hosts can do a great job, you know, diving into each of them and explaining their story. So overall, it's going to be different this year than the past, but we'll make the most of it no matter what.
So there was this story in the Wall Street Journal that since it came out, Outside the Lines has talked about it a lot, that there is some real credit given to the 49ers losing the Super Bowl and how it sort of kept San Francisco from possibly becoming a real epicenter of coronavirus in the United States, that the Cal State San Francisco Hospital accepted its first two coronavirus patients the day after the Super Bowl. And if the 49ers had won, you are in that environment in a city with a lot of people and not a lot of space. And this could have just exploded out on the West Coast, if not all over the country, even bigger so than it already has. Is that a story you guys have given a lot of airtime to?
To be honest, we haven't even touched on that at all. It's the Super Bowl was a sore subject for a lot of the listeners when it first happened. So we haven't really dove into that. I read it, I have seen the story, but in terms of on air, no, we haven't touched much on that at all.
You know, it's weird because I didn't think about the fact that the Super Bowl being a sore subject. Like, looking at it as somebody that lives in North Carolina that had no feeling one way or the other for either of the two teams in the Super Bowl, I look at that and think, man, that is a really interesting story, and I'd love to hear conversations around that. But being in San Francisco, I guess the conversation is pretty simple, right? Nothing that brings up the bad memories of Jimmy Garoppolo missing Emmanuel Sanders.
We try not to touch on that too much. you know, you'll find some out here in the Bay. We, you know, obviously still have some Raider fans as well. So they'll definitely bring it up on the text line and phone calls and all that. But we're trying to look for more for entertainment, trying to get them away from, in terms of content. We're trying to, you know, find different things to, again, entertain our listeners the best as possible. And something like that, while very interesting, and it's our job to update the listeners as much as possible, we want to come up with, like, try fun topics, you know, different things to dive into that, you know, can spark maybe some debates, have some fun insights on different things. So maybe we could look into it at some point, but right now we've been getting into a lot of lists, different topics. Luckily, the Niners have provided a lot of news for us other than that, with DeForest Buckner trade, things of that nature. So the draft being remote, people have been really interested on that, about how it's going to work, different ideas that, you know, what teams are going to do. But yeah, no, it's that story we haven't touched on, but it's been enough to keep us busy so far.
Yeah, Joe, Lowe, and Dibbs are all three guys have big personalities. They're all the kind of dudes you would want to be friends with, right? And so when you have three hosts like that, I would imagine it makes it a little bit easier when you're dealing with something like this from the standpoint of they know how to have conversations. They don't have to totally rely on X's and O's, and they are comfortable talking about themselves in the very human sense of day-to-day life. Not just, you know, Joe's a big gambling guy. He's on ESPN for that, of course. You know, he's not just talking about picks. He can talk about his kids, his wife, very easily. How much, without sports, have you found yourself either doing more or less producing?
In terms of producing, we're always trying to have stories ready. Especially in this, I'd rather be over-prepared and just to make sure that they have enough. It's been fun hearing their stories. I mean, these guys, they've been great. It's, you know, it could be, we're all going through the same thing. So, right. You know, whether someone needs a haircut, the basic things, or, you know, the trip to the supermarket, or you know, whatever. Whatever it is, these guys have an opinion on it. These guys have takes on it. It's been easy to deal with in terms of that. And what's been nice is when this first came down, first thing, you know, when we're like, there's going to be no sports. People, they're going to be working from home. The common question a lot of people would ask is, you know, what are we going to do for content? And with this show, it was the exact opposite. I remember seeing Joe right away, and he's like, dude, we're good. We're going to provide content. We're going to provide entertainment. Our listeners are going to enjoy what we're going to put out. It's going to be great. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun because it's given us a chance to, you know, we don't get into boxing much, but Lowe's a huge boxing fan. And he just lights up when we talk about it. So you throw a few things like that. It could be sports that we don't have a chance to talk about, or just day-to-day life, which has been awesome. It's been, you know, Lowe has one kid in college, Dibs has his kids in high school, and Joe, his kids are 1 and 3. So different, yeah. You know, they're whether it be last week they were doing fatherhood advice, whether it's been going around or different stories, and you're just hearing these stories, and they're just absolutely hilarious. So it's been different entertainment from all different types. And it's been, these guys have been fantastic dealing with it.
On those weekly content calls with Nahigian and the other producers, are you talking at all, or are any of the guys sort of asking you to give them some guidance in terms of doing and being a little more human and a little less sports reliant during that time? Or is that a common theme across the entire game lineup?
It's been for the whole game lineup, is just, you know, let's have fun. Let's give different things a chance. Let's come up with different bits. Let's do things that's going to provide entertainment for our listeners. And what's been really cool is just doing different things. Is Joe had a great idea, and it was, you know, started weeks ago, and it was shout out different restaurants that are open. You know what? Fill our text line. Give us some restaurants. If you guys are open, we want to thank you. We want to promote you. And the text line just flooded. Just so many people out there. And on our conference call the following week, Matt told us he had 3 different cases where people reached out to him, restaurant owners, and just said, thank you. And he just said, you know, my customers came in here and they said, you know, we didn't know you were open, and we heard on the game you were, and from the text line, and we just, you know, we want to stop by and pick up some food to go. And it was awesome. So it's been different. It's been, you know, we've been trying different ideas like that, and it's, you know, it's worked out well. It doesn't get better feeling than that when you have restaurants and different businesses and things of that nature just thanking you for helping out every which way you can.
One of the things that I've noticed talking to people kind of across the country is you put out that call for texts or calls or emails or whatever to help folks out. And there is this real, we're all in this together mentality, and you can count on that feedback being there. But overall, what have you seen the text line, the phone lines doing? Is that carrying over no matter what you're talking about? Or are the guys going in every morning planning on not relying on listener interaction at all?
We haven't been reliant on them, always welcome them.
Sure.
We're going to have our topics. We're going to have our conversations. Obviously, you know, if callers and texters want them to give their opinions on things, like, we're more than happy to do that as well. You see the text line and phone lines light up more recently in terms of top 10 lists. Perfect example. When we had a caller segment, it was the anniversary of the Giants' first game at Candlestick Park. So having that here, Joe, from being from Philly, he just like, let me have it. Like, you know, what was it like? You know, line up your calls, best moments. I didn't see it, but, you know, bring me back then. You guys take me through it. Phone lines just lit up. It was awesome. The text lines lit up. Different stories from people's favorite memories to, you know, just tailgating with their dad to catching a foul ball to actually plays on the field. So things that, you know, people have been participating really well, but it hasn't been the main focus of the shows, but it's worked out.
So in terms of your job running down guests, when we met in Miami at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think our very first meeting was all of, hi, I'm John Curley. Sorry, I can't stand to talk to you. And you went running off to grab somebody. So I know that grabbing guests and securing guests is something you take very seriously and you do very well. What does that look like right now? I mean, I wonder, do you guys have the conversation that what we're providing our listeners, what we are able to deliver in terms of the human side of all of this right now is better than anything we could bring any expert in on, or have the type of experts you're turning to changed? Like, are you more interested in bringing on somebody that can talk about life and the pandemic right now than you are someone to talk about the 49ers draft?
So we've been basing all of, in terms of guest lineups and stuff, is all about entertaining our audience. We've been focusing from that angle. We always will try to update our listeners, obviously, on the current events on day to day. The only time that we brought a doctor source on was a doctor that was on the Santa Clara County Council and who came out, I believe, 2 weeks ago and said that he doesn't think we'll see sports back until Thanksgiving at the earliest. Mm-hmm. So we went ahead, we reached out, we got him on. He gave us, opinion and, it's very informative. I felt it was a great interview, it was for the listeners to have. But in terms of what angle we've been going to, it still hasn't changed. Get the biggest names with some of the biggest stories or whatever biggest, it's a chance for us to get, to keep getting the bigger guests, Last week we just had Ray Lewis on. A week before the draft, we wouldn't have Ray Lewis on. I'm sure he would have a million things to do leading up
right
to it. So it was, it's been still pretty much the same goal in terms of reaching out for the big guests, but yes, we'll have a doctor on if we feel necessary, but right now it's just been entertainment aspect to focus on.
I think most people know that Joe Fortenbaugh is something of a sports gambling savant, part of the Daily Line on ESPN. Obviously was big into talking about sports gambling on air before it was legalized in the way that it has been across the country. Is there any sort of ribbing of him going on right now that he cannot have action on anything?
Has he been finding
overseas horse races to bet on until the draft comes around?
He is, what I love working with him is how creative he can get with things. And Joe being Joe, he would want to see some action on something. The one
right
bit we had going was he pinned low and dips against each other to have weather locks. So he would give an over under on what the day's weather would be in San Francisco. And he would have the two guys gamble, or he would have the two guys place a bet on that. We've done stuff of that nature. Hasn't found too much yet. He's done some over under when we had obviously this, the series that took it, that everyone was in on was Tiger King.
Of course.
We had some prop bets with that. In terms of sports, I think he's getting a little edgy. I'm sure he's waiting for things to come back. But, things overseas he hasn't touched on too much so far.
So you mentioned Tiger King. We had that. I think that's come and gone from the national psyche at this point. We are in the middle of The Last Dance, the ESPN Michael Jordan and the Bulls documentary. Have these things been like finding a oasis in the desert right now? I mean, have these things been the kind of topics you can really build a plethora of ideas around, or are they just sort of like, well, yeah, we'll get to that because people are talking about it, but we don't need it today?
Like for today's show, it's been what we build around. We had we did a episode by episode for Tiger King. People love that. Text line chiming in, wanted to know what time it was at. Did Carol Baskin do it? Did she not? Things, everyone had their own theories, of course. With The Last Dance today, which was awesome, that was a big part of the show. Obviously, social media was just going nuts. I couldn't get by two or three tweets without seeing someone talking about Michael Jordan in some way. It's been nice in terms of building for the show, but just something to look forward to. Last week we were talking about it towards the end of the week a little bit. You know, what are you looking to see? What do you remember for that run? And it was nice hearing that because, you know, I was so young when this was all happening with Michael Jordan that it's, you knew we only heard stories. So it was nice to hear, finally, hear these guys talk about it, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all them. And so it's been fun. Today was a great show. Text line was loving it. It was nice getting these guys reliving what they saw, you know? So it was, it's been good for the show. Sure.
So with The Last Dance, what is the reaction of the audience in San Francisco? Because, it's a big transplant city, obviously, but B, during that time, if I were being generous, I would say the Warriors sucked during that time. So I would imagine that even people like you, born and bred and lived their whole lives in the Bay Area, that's probably more what they were paying attention to than the Warriors during that time.
That's a yes, yes. And what people remember too is Michael Jordan got hurt when he was out here, when he broke his foot. So it was just like, man, we can't get it, you know, during that time the Warriors can get anything right. So it was like, even when Michael Jordan comes here, it still can't be right. It was something else. Today was all about remembering Jordan, like in terms of like just his greatness, just, you know, what you saw back in the day. The same thing. My our board up on the show, you know, we're just a few years apart. So this is all new to us, you know, and just listening to them go back and forth in the Bay Area overall. It's, there's something about Mike. He can't do no wrong. And, you know, of course, the LeBron conversation being in the Bay Area will, you know, some people on the text line or phones will kind of squeak LeBron in there for their dislike and always have Michael Jordan over him. So it was like you saw a little bit of that.
Framed the way, or did you notice that on the first day of talking about it, did it frame the way people are talking about those Warriors teams or Steph? And part of it is media is so much more widespread now, but those teams are never going to be what the Bulls are or were. Steph is never going to be what Jordan was. And it's not about quality. It is solely about, I think we have too much access now for these guys to be the mythical figures that Jordan and Pippen and Rodman were.
Today was more about, you saw a few things come up that some people still have the recent Warriors run over that Bulls team.
Yeah.
That was, you know, some people, and it's there. They're going to obviously support their team all they can, but it was nice to have that kind of thought and conversation a little bit. We didn't dive too much into it today. It'll be more, I'm sure, throughout the series.
Right.
But there's a lot of people still defending the Warriors, and I was surprised by that. I thought a lot of people kind of get where the debate comes from with Michael Jordan and, you know, that amazing Bulls run. But overall, a lot of people stuck with the Warriors, which I was surprised in that.
So, look, I'm not going to wrap this week on telling you what you should be talking about or what your opinion should be in terms of not just the coronavirus, but reopening the country. But I don't think right now there is anything wrong with reminding people that if we try and come out of this quarantine too soon, we are all going right back into quarantine. A buddy of mine and I started a t-shirt company recently, and one of the designs we have been sort of trying to perfect is basically says, stay home, wash your hands, save football season. And I think that's a pretty good message for sports radio right now. As you look around and you see all of these states, particularly in the South where I am, opening up too much way too soon, I don't think there's anything wrong with you talking about or your host talking about how you feel about that right now, as long as you're making sure to ground the conversation in sports. Look, I've talked before about my wife being a doctor, and opening things up way too soon means a certain overwhelming thing for my family, and that's not lost on me. But damn it, I need a college football season. And if I'm talking about Georgia opening up movie theaters, you can bet that that pisses me off because it's not smart, but it also pisses me off because it probably means I'm not going to get SEC football this season if you screw it up like that. So if you want to have these conversations, I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all, but grounding it in the world of sports, I think it grounds it for the audience in that it frames things in the reason they all came to you. Right? So at that point, it's not just the rantings of somebody that has a microphone and is going to tell you how they feel. It is a real look at the sports consequences of opening things up too soon. Just something to keep in mind, because I know that these sort of reopen movements, or whatever they're calling them, liberate movements, have sort of gotten people's tensions, particularly with the political aspects of this thing, back on edge again. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about them. Just consider how you're framing them to make them as palatable as possible for your audience if you want to have those conversations. I will be back with you next week. In the meantime, keep listening to JB's Managing the Crisis podcast. I was about to say Managing the Prices, right? And keep coming back to BarrettSportsMedia.com. We've got all kinds of cool stuff up there for you. I hope you've been checking out the Content Grab Bag series and using some of those ideas while sports are at a standstill. I'll talk to you next week.
Unbelievable, baby. The show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Dimitri, follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravanos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.